I'm absolutely delighted to be here today, and what I'm going to be talking about is mammography screening behaviors in both rural and frontier women in Texas, and looking at age differences. And I'd like to acknowledge the different supports, one from my Texas A&M Health Science Center, CIPRIT, which is a huge funding institution in Texas, $3 billion over 10 years of cancer money, and then my partners at Texas AgriLife Extension. So there are no conflicts of interest by myself or any of my colleagues. The statement of the problem, what we're talking about is it's a rural health disparity. And so we know from previous statistics in the state that women in rural and frontier areas are less likely to meet the recommendations for cancer preventive screening. These women are less likely than women in urban areas. And this is important because treatment cost and mortality are often higher for these rural underserved women, and that is due to the lack of preventive care for screening as well as later diagnosis. And we know from other literature that older women are also in rural areas less likely to be screened. So what are the study aims? One is to document the age differences in women's retrospective reported mammography behaviors. And so that's asking people what they did in the last year. Secondly, it's looking at age differences in intended commitment to recommended screening. So what do you intend to do over the next 6 months? And then to look at the joint influences of age, of ethnicity, your cancer history, and previous screening behavior, how all of this influences intended commitments. So what is friend of friend? Friend of friend is an RTIP. An RTIP means a research-tested intervention program. So this is a program that had been tested before, and now we applied it to the Texas setting. So this is really a dissemination, a translational research study. So we're looking at adult women in both rural and frontier counties, and they're invited to attend what we call screening parties. Screening parties provide educational information, they provide support for cancer prevention and screening, and they're fun, with the concept that bringing people together and giving them information in an enjoyable setting will help motivate and change behaviors. The target audience here are uninsured or underserved women. The program materials, because we're in Texas, we're both in English and Spanish. And this, as I said, was a partnership with our Texas AgriLife Extension. So it's not just researchers, but it's AgriLife Extension is in 250 of the 254 counties in Texas, and they have specialists that work with agents across the state. So what were the methods? This was basically survey data. We asked very brief questions about personal characteristics on cancer history, mammography behavior. We got this information from over 1,500 women in 44 counties in Texas, and the collection time was in 2011 and 2012. So this is really current data. There are these educational sessions. They are delivered by cancer survivors, physicians, nurses, and mostly any of these three groups are mostly physicians. And the women were asked to pledge to do a mammography screening within the next 6 months. So what we're looking at is really a life course perspective. We want to know the difference in both the past behavior as well as future commitment across three age groups. The youngest age group, 40 to 49, the middle age group, 50 to 64, and then 65 plus. And what's important to note is that the U.S. Preventive Screening Task Force has recommendations that are age-based. What's particularly interesting is to know that before 2009, the recommendation for the youngest age group was annual. The Preventive Services Task Force now talks about being every other year, every 2 years. In Texas, and with CIPRIT, the funder, they are in a way ignoring those preventive services guidelines and still saying every year. So it's quite confusing, I think, for women what the message is. And it really depends where you are, what you're being told. And Linda Anderson here, who's from CDC, probably knows that confusion well. So where are the counties? We have the 44 counties you can see up and down Texas. And these are rural areas within Texas. What were the participant characteristics? When you're looking across age, you see, as you would expect, that cancer survivors are more likely to be in the older age group. But you can also see it's this mid-age group, 50 to 64, if you take both personal and family history, they're a potentially vulnerable group. This is Texas. Texas is, I think, now a majority-minority state, so it's not surprising that we have a lot more Hispanics and African Americans, but again, in the oldest age group, that's still predominantly white non-Hispanic. And when you look about signing the commitment card, you see again that the older age group is the least likely to have signed that commitment card. So what about past screening behavior? When you look about, this is, you know, on their forms, they say, were you screened in the last year? And you see within the last year, only about half of the women, 40 to 49, were screened, and that's lower than the national average. Also for people 50 to 64, that's lower than some of the national averages. And for people 65 and older, that's about on target. The new guidelines for women in this age group are to be screened as long as you are healthy, whatever that means, and it's self-defined. In this case, these are women who come to a community event, so this is not women who are in more protected living environments. What is really interesting is to look at the percentages of women who have never had a mammogram. You might expect this for women who are 40 to 49, but 7% of people 50 to 64 have never had a mammogram, and some of the older women have never, ever had mammograms. What about the knowledge? And so they asked before the event, how often should women be getting mammograms? And so you can see that most people have in their mind that mammograms are something you should do annually. When you look at the post after the sort of event, you see that the youngest age group actually are more likely to think 1 year is the appropriate time, and the 65 plus are getting that message that maybe it doesn't have to be every year and more likely to be every 2 years. So how many people signed this commitment card? You can see that it's pretty even with the two youngest age groups, the 40 to 49 and the 50 to 64. And you can see it's much less in the 65 and older. So what we wanted to do is to know about the relationship between signing the card and having a prior family or a personal history. And so you can see, and this is sort of odd and it's something we need to explore more, those people with a personal history as compared to a family history are actually less likely to sign the card. And I talked to Divya, who's in the audience, one of my colleagues, who said that she read on the commitment card, some people said, I've already had a mastectomy, I don't need to sign the card. So we really need to understand the reasons why people are not signing this card. If you look at, not at age, but you look at the different kinds of cancer histories, again you see that the personal history, just the cancer survivor alone, is least likely. What's interesting is having no personal or family history, having been to this event, raises your likelihood of signing up. And family history, this is a really odd thing we're still trying to understand. People with a family history are the most likely to sign. It may be because that family member is somebody who has had a severe cancer diagnosis and perhaps has even died. So it's that sort of relationship that seems to be even more powerful than your personal situation. So, do you know what? This is really interesting. I'm not looking at the right set of slides, so I'm going to go right over this. We didn't load the right ones.
I had that problem also.
Okay, so, but here's the key. So we're sort of looking at this on a bivariate way, and now we're looking at all these factors together. So you can see, again, that looking at them together, that the oldest age group is about half as likely to sign the card. You can see that ethnicity makes no difference in our population, that people with a family history are more likely to sign. Those people with a personal history are less likely to sign. But what I think is important is to note that past screening behavior makes a difference. So if you were not screened in the last 24 months, you are really likely to have a wake-up call and a trigger from these events to know that you should be getting a mammogram. So what's the summary of the bivariates? It's not surprising that the youngest age group has the lowest screening rates compared to other age groups, because those guidelines are actually changing. But when they go to these events, they sort of exhibit the greatest increase in knowledge, and they have the highest commitment as a group to get screened in the next 6 months. The women who are 50 to 64 are a vulnerable age group when you look at their personal and family histories, and particularly vulnerable because this is a group that lacks insurance. The older adults are the least likely to sign the commitment card, but they're most likely to sign if they've had a personal or family history. And for older women, this may be so because there's not an insurance issue. They're not experiencing out-of-pocket cost if they're Medicare eligible. So what about the multivariate summary? That mammography screening is very complex. When you look at variables such as age, family or personal history, past screening status, all of these factors interact to predict commitment for getting mammogram screening. The oldest are still the least likely to commit relative to the 40 to 49 age group. They may be on a different horizon. They may be thinking, I don't have to get a mammography every year. They're heeding that message. It may be every 2 years. There's an important screening message that seems to be getting across. That is, those with the family history are particularly more likely to commit, and those who were out of compliance within the last 2 years are also likely to be committing. So what are the implications? That community events such as this friend-to-friend event that's run through Ag Extension, it's really important that this is an opportunity for implementing evidence-based interventions. So the majority of women who come to these events are signing commitment cards. But what we see is, particularly if you're looking at women with personal and family histories, it may be that 60 and 70, almost 80% are signing, but you want 100% of people with a personal or family history to be getting mammograms regularly. What can we do in terms of improving mammogram screening is to have sort of active dissemination of screening guidelines, and that's why I think AgriLife Extension is so valuable. Also valuable in Texas, we have a really active aging services network through the AAAs. So again, get the word out about what the appropriate screening guidelines are. And it's really important that such interventions can help decrease any kinds of age biases, whether you're in your 40s, 50s, or 60s. And there was just a conference recently at CDC that was on life course perspectives. So I think what's really important is to understand the risk factors of women in different decades, and then to target the interventions to people according to what the risk factors are. So I'd like to thank you very much.
We have time for questions. Any questions?
Yes.
All your data pictures, how many of
them? Do you know, that is an excellent question to ask, and we don't know, but my sense is there are probably some. Divya, that was not one of the questions. We don't know the functional status, but I think that's really important to know how that may be a barrier to being screened.
Is there a barrier to different
Excellent point. other hits.
Will there be any follow-up 6 months later to see if they actually did get screened?
You know, that's exactly what we plan, because intention is really easy to say. Mm-hmm. We do know at some of the actual screenings there was a mammogram van at that, and we know for that group that people actually got screened. There was an intention to follow up with phone calls over the next 6 months or a year, but it turned out there weren't resources to do it, so that is a limitation that we have to acknowledge.
Do the population increase also have numbers who have had allergies?
No.
Like saying that somebody said I did not sign the commitment card because I wanted to have that.
This was in the under the no section. So not many mentioned into it. It was a yes or no question that they signed the commitment card from mammography. So it was a yes or no question. It was up to them if they wanted to mention.
That's my last question.
What about just geographic differences, or if by the person who uses the word physician, the nurses and the survivors that gave a kind of talk, so I just wondering if you divvied that up at all?
Actually, there's another poster that looks to see a couple of things. How compliant are people, physicians and nurses, and the survivors were actually healthcare providers and survivors. And so you're right, it will be interesting to look to see, depending upon who's leading this event, how that impacts knowledge as well as commitment.